everybody. Welcome to Pockets, the podcast where my dear friend Fabian and I explore the pockets of movies and life. I'm Jennifer Miller. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, everybody. This is Fabian.
Well, we were both discussing briefly before we started about Mercury retrograde, and I'll tell you, this week has been shite.
It has. The whole lunar eclipse absolutely did this. It's everything that can go wrong.
Is going wrong.
Electronically is absolutely wrong.
I can only be grateful that my MRI went smoothly today. I had to get my boobies MRI'd, which went smoothly.
What if they'd gotten trapped in some
contraption? No, it was an open MRI, so my claustrophobia wasn't too triggered.
Yeah.
But initially I was like, this is a really weird position. And and they give you the false sense that you're looking over because you're face down, but the mirror is such that you're looking out.
Wait, didn't they used to do this for people in iron lungs? They would be on their backs and they'd have a mirror.
Man in the iron lung that just passed.
What?
He lived there in his iron lung for like 60 years.
No.
And he just passed.
He lived in...
Yes.
He was stuck in that.
Yes.
He had to live in it.
There was a photograph of him smiling, actually smiling at the camera, if you can believe it.
My God. I can't even imagine.
No.
60 years?
No. What does the body atrophy? It must.
Yeah. I mean, he's just...
I think about...
brain.
What's that with Pee Wee Herman as the prince? Was it 30 Rock? Where Pee Wee Herman had those legs.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What was his real name? I loved him.
Paul Rubens. I loved him, too.
I know you did. You did.
I regret giving away my talking Pee Wee Herman doll. I gave it to a woman who I had just met, and it was her birthday. She was a friend of a friend. I went home, and I got it, and I gave it to her because she loved Pee Wee Herman.
You're so kind. That was a foolish move.
Yeah,
that was foolish.
It was.
Peter, he grew up Baptist and wasn't really allowed to see movies, so he read about them, and he loved Star Wars. So he had, like, everything from the Star Wars movies.
But he hadn't seen it.
But he finally saw it when he was 15.
But did he have the figures before he saw the movie?
Yes, he did.
That's amazing because I want to talk to him about it. The idea, what his imagination had to create for each of those characters and how they interacted with each other has got to be fascinating. That's great.
I have no doubt. I agree. Yeah. And he went home from college and his father had just given all of it. Unopened, by the way, unopened.
Oh, no.
His father gave it all to this little boy that Peter never even knew.
Oh, no.
That would hurt. Wouldn't that hurt?
Yeah.
And he, like, and you know how, like, he's an ex-librarian. Everything is very, like, white-gloved, handled.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, yeah, that's brutal. That's a brutal, it's a brutal hit. Also, I think everyone should know, because I'm in hell right now, there was a massive swarm of bees. And when I say massive, I mean thousands and thousands of bees that are swarming my house right now. They got in, they're in the walls, but hopefully the beekeeper came, and fingers crossed they'll be gone tomorrow.
It's kind of like a 1976 Monday Night ABC thriller. Remember those TV shows?
Wasn't there one called The Bees?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. They had many of them. One was
Arachnophobia,
like Swarm,
too.
Swarm or something.
Swarm.
There was one with...
Swarm, that's it.
The one with Kate Jackson. Do you remember there was an episode with Kate Jackson and she ends up controlling all the bees? Kills her mother.
No.
She becomes the queen bee.
Do you remember
She's
Cannibal Run, the women in the fancy car, and the Adrian Barbeau?
Loved Adrian Barbeau.
You love her?
Love her.
Like she was in one of those Swarm movies.
She was Maude's daughter in Maude, remember?
Yes,
and she was also in The Fog. She was Stevie.
The Fog was
remember?
Scary.
John Carpenter's?
Yes.
I saw that movie about six times at the movies
in
one week.
It was so scary,
wasn't
it?
I loved that movie. And she's the voice of Catwoman.
Yes.
She was the voice of Catwoman in the 90s on the animated show. She was Catwoman.
Babe.
She was great. Yeah.
Wow, I love
Adrienne Barbeau.
And also, I think...
They used to call her Adrienne Barboobs.
They were spectacular. I remember her in Cannonball Run, and I love that movie. It's a cheesy, stupid movie. It wouldn't be popular today. All the slapping of Dom DeLuise that... excuse me, everybody. Spam risk. Dialing in. Anyway, I don't know if you ever saw it. Do you remember Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin and Dean like slapping Sammy?
They were in it?
They played the guys playing the priests.
Oh, I don't remember the minute. I saw that movie, but you know, gay boy watching that. It had a whole other... Wasn't Sally Field in it? Was she in that one or the second one?
Farrah Fawcett.
Wait, Smokey and the Bandit, right?
That's Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, no. Cannonball Run
was the one where they're racing across. Oh, yeah,
that was the best.
And Farrah was in it, remember?
I remember there was a car that was painted all black. Remember? So that you couldn't see it and yes, it would drive
yes,
at night.
That's, yes.
I remember things like that.
I know. Barbeau got pulled over, the cop is walking up and she like unzips to expose the boobies. And it's a woman cop. She was like license and registration.
That's funny.
The end with all the bloopers though, I still watch that on YouTube and send it to my brother.
My favorite things were Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds together. The bloopers
truly,
of them.
They were so funny together. And it was just, you would just hear Dom DeLuise's laugh, that raspy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't, and then.
He's like an Italian live version of like the Pillsbury Doughboy or something.
Yes, I loved it. Remember Fatso with Anne Bancroft?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was great, too.
Man.
Yeah. All right, guys. On this episode, we're going to start our interesting topics and facts from around the world with Fabian talking about mushrooms.
It's a topic that I actually love, especially right now. I have been microdosing psilocybin for, I don't know, a few months now, and I love it. In fact, I forgot to do it just before I came over.
Are you finding that it's helping anxiety? Or...
Absolutely.
Okay, because a lot of people that I know that are doing it, it really is for mental health and for anxiety. Yeah, you don't feel high, apparently.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You feel great. You feel good, and you feel at ease. You feel, I do. I feel at ease, and I don't, it's like before when something was stressing me out, you could almost feel it. Now it's just abated, and it doesn't numb you. It doesn't make you unaware.
But it stops the triggering probably of that adrenaline.
I can process it. Exactly. I can process it logically and it doesn't stress me out. I feel confident that there'll be a solution for most
Peter
things.
Tried them as well for headaches, and unfortunately it didn't help for that. But I think for the more, you know, mind stuff.
Yeah, love it. It's great, but mushrooms are really incredible and diverse, multifaceted organisms. They're used for medicine, for cooking, for all kinds of things. But there's is a really interesting fact. The largest living organism known is mushrooms.
Fascinating.
Isn't that crazy?
I had no idea when I read that.
The largest living organism on Earth is not a whale or a redwood tree, but a mushroom. Armillaria ostoiae, also known as the humongous fungus, covers an estimated 2,385 acres of the Malheur National Forest in Oregon. In Oregon, this underground network of fungal mycelium, Fabian, is considered a single organism, making it the largest known living entity by area. I've only had two sips of gin.
It's that kind of day, man.
There's some bioluminescent mushrooms who are, you know, not unlike jellyfish.
That fascinates
that glow.
Me, the bioluminescent.
The mushroom communication, I think, is really fascinating.
Yeah.
Fungi, including mushrooms, can communicate with each other through chemical signaling. They have these networks that are interconnected thread-like structures that make up the fungal body, facilitate communication between individual fungi, and even between different species. You know, in science fiction, this is what they're going to use. There will be a science fiction movie that could be in space, that could be wherever, and it's going to be fungus that they're using instead of communicators or whatever. It'll go within the walls of a spaceship or something. I can see that happening.
Well, one of the reasons we chose this topic was that video that I sent you that showed the mushrooms at night backlit, and you could see the spores just flying off the mushrooms.
Yeah, but that's really scary too, in a way, because, you know, you watch The Last of Us, did you watch The Last of Us?
Did I watch The Last of Us?
Did you cry so much?
Cry, is that the word?
So
keening,
much.
Like
oh,
weeping,
too.
Wailing.
I couldn't talk afterward.
No. My face was swollen for a couple of days
after that. Beautifully done. But the idea of these spores just coming out, and you know, this is a perfect example, is that there is the what this is based on, you know, TV show like
This Is Us, The Last of Us.
You know, in another movie, there was another really great movie, The Girl with All the Gifts. I don't know if you ever saw it from 2016. I think it's sort of based on the video game of The Last of Us. And it's a little girl who, in a dystopian future where it's exactly the same thing, fungus have created zombies out of people. Just the same idea. And this girl is immune to it.
Right.
She's like the key to, it's exactly the same thing. But it was a great movie.
Okay.
But this is all based on something that is absolutely real. Not with humans quite yet, but there are fungus that invades ants
and grasshoppers
and makes them do things.
It's horrifying.
It is. And then the key thing at the end is that that's what they use to release their spores when they're done using them for whatever it is. It's so horrible. But yeah, it's really fascinating. And you know, my mom is in the hospital right now and she's got fungus in her lungs.
It happens. It happened to my dad on his heart when he was dying.
Well, they're saying that there's going to be more and more cases of this now because of global warming and the hotter weather and dust, that this type of fungus is going to be able to travel through the air.
Isn't there something called lungs, like yellow fever? Yeah,
Yellow Valley or yellow, Valley Fever or something.
Yellow,
and a lot of people in Santa Barbara have gotten that.
They have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What?
People who go hiking. There were cases. Remember, there were some cases of people.
Because I thought you have to be like doing something in your yard.
But oh, no, people going on hikes and stuff.
Babe, I used to hike like all the time.
Me too.
Good thing I'm sedentary.
Yeah, me too.
It's a lifesaver.
I can't. For that reason, I'm never hiking again.
Dude, seriously. But do you ever go? Ruth told me that it's actually sage. But, you know, did you ever walk and smell like a heavy mold smell when you're walking? I wonder if that's fungi on sage.
I don't know. I don't want to know.
All right. Anyway, sorry. I interrupt.
That's going to freak me out. But anyway, yes. So that when people talk about zombie mushrooms, there are certain species of fungi known to infect and manipulate the behaviors of insects.
Wow.
Turning them into zombies.
Wow.
It's pretty fascinating.
It really, really is. I like to eat them. Very much.
Me too. Shiitake all the way.
Shiitake all the way.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you've been to Trader's, but they have a beech, B-E-E-C-H mushroom.
Mm-mm.
And they're little guys. They're little like guys with stems. And I cook it. Still cook it in my chicken broth. Really good.
Yeah.
Shiitake with you 100% though. Not a huge.
It's the shiitake.
Not a big giant portobello fan. I like the creminis are fine.
Yeah.
Oyster. Love an oyster.
But the portobello made into a
burger. I've never had a shantra.
Have you ever had made into a burger?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think my mistake was I never scraped out the bottom of it.
Oh, so the texture might be a little bit
weird. Yeah, so maybe that was my problem.
It's like papery. Because
I used to make like little pizzas out of them when I was trying to be grain free.
Yeah.
Grain free.
Which, by the way, I just
as
want.
As free as the
while we're talking about that grain free, I went to a restaurant in LA last week, Crossroads, on Melrose near Fairfax. The best vegan restaurant I've ever been to. I finally had, it's been years, I had a chicken piccata. Chicken piccata with mashed potatoes. Me, I didn't order a salad. I only ever get salads when I go to restaurants anywhere because I can't eat anything.
Oh, fair.
No dairy. There was no dairy. It wasn't spicy. It was spectacular. And the chicken was fake chicken.
And it was so
with four
delicious.
Cutlets. It was amazing. My husband, who could care less about any of that, loved it. We were in heaven. It was an amazing meal, and we need one in Santa Barbara.
That's incredible. I make a really great chicken piccata. I made chicken
masala
for you.
Yeah, but you use butter.
Yeah, of course. It's
no,
just,
this had zero. Just, this had zero, right. zero.
That's fascinating.
And a stuffed, I'd never had before, stuffed zucchini. Blossoms. Have you ever had?
Are you kidding? I love stuffed zucchini blossoms.
Crap. This was amazing. It had the cheese in it, not real cheese.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. I went to Gelson's yesterday to buy it.
Were they fried or baked?
Oh, fried.
Oh, dear
I
God.
Went to, I went to Gelson's
right?
to buy them. One container of them was $28. Guess what?
Are you serious?
I didn't buy it. Didn't get
that's
it.
That's just
for something I've never cooked
baloney.
Before.
Try farmers market.
No, I'm going to grow them. Ruth and I.
Oh.
We're going to grow them. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
All right. You're up, and I'm very, very
all
curious
right.
to hear about
yes.
this.
Yes. Well,
because I love this.
So, yes.
These creatures.
They're fascinating.
They are.
And my cousin was visiting, and he was telling me this story about this guy who was really nice to crows. And
we didn't mention that the topic is crows.
It is crows, guys.
Yes.
Crows.
And I love
yes.
these creatures.
And just briefly before I begin, apparently, and this is total lore, there's no actual scientific proof or any proof that this story is real, but there are many stories like it. A guy was really nice and friendly to the crows. They were friendly. It was a reciprocal relationship. The guy's son was like a mile away or several blocks away and hurt his leg. He was a little boy, couldn't get back home, and the crows basically went and like, cacao, cacao. Like,
that's amazing.
And brought the man, I think of Schitt's Creek and the mom and that when she was in the movie with the crows. Yes. But they got got the guy to come back.
Moira.
And help his son. Wow. Anyway, so that began. So, you know,
Fabian
and I...
Does it make you jealous? It makes me so jealous when I see videos of people who have connections with bluebirds and with crows and hummingbirds.
I get jealous.
And they call them and they come... And they'll come to their hand and they're friends and they've had year-long friendships. I'm trying so hard to do that. Well, I feed bluebirds in the yard. I feed them. I want them to come.
My cousin said apparently if you just build something and you put the food out for the crows, take it out at night for the rats. But in the daytime, if you have to build it up, apparently. And the crows will come. If you build it up,
the crows will come. They will. Will Kevin Costner be there too?
Wouldn't that be dreamy? Well, he lives in town. We could always hope. Yeah.
Who's going to narrate that?
Me? No.
If you build it, they will come. I can't remember who the narrator in that movie was. It was a surprise.
Oh, it was, wasn't it Ed James Harris? Earl Jones?
Was it?
Ed Harris. Oh, he was in it.
Ed Harris, I think. It was someone who wasn't in the movie. It's the husband of the woman who played the wife. You know, in real life.
Yeah, Ed Harris
is married to...
That's absolutely Ed Harris.
Okay, so I think he's the voice. I think.
We eventually get there, everyone. Yeah. We eventually do. Could you give me a little topper? Mm.
Yes, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a little bit of Hendrix gin.
All right.
We support and love Hendrix. And Fabian is doing... Is it Whalebone or is that the magazine Chris gave me?
Magazine.
I know. I'm very excited. Thank you, Chris Janney.
Whalebone.
Shout out
fantastic.
To the great Miss Janney.
I'm drinking Gray Whale gin.
Gray Whale. Okay.
California Botanicals. All right.
All right, guys. Focus, Jen. Listen, guys. Crows are renowned for their intelligence, with cognitive abilities comparable to those of primates and dolphins. They can solve complex problems, use tools, and even recognize individual faces.
They might be able to come and fix our mouse and our microphones. And seriously. All the
freaking issues like we've been having. Yeah. I did read that they never forget a face and they have the intellect of a 7-year-old.
That's me. Oh my God, that's totally me. I never forget a face. I have the intellect of a 7-year-old. Oh my God, I'm a crow.
You're
that's my
a crow.
Spirit animal. And I didn't know it. All
that's
right.
Your new name. Continue. Now I'm just going to call you Crow.
Again.
Hi, Crow. All right, they're one of the
Hume
few.
Hume Cronin. I just call me Hume. Hume Cronin. That's it.
Oh my God, right. You're awesome.
You're my Jessica Tandy. Was that her name?
Yes, okay. They were married in real life.
Yeah, they were.
Oh my God. All right, guys. Crows are one of the few animal species known to use tools. They have been observed fashioning tools out of sticks, leaves, and other objects to extract food from hard-to-reach places. They are highly social birds and often form tight-knit family groups or larger flocks. They engage in cooperative behavior such as mobbing predators and sharing food with other crows. Some species of crows, such as the American crow, are capable of mimicking sounds, including human speech.
Wow.
That's amazing. They have excellent long-term memory and can remember, as we said, human faces for years, even holding grudges against people who have harmed them or their kin.
I am definitely a fucking crow. I can hold a grudge. Like, nobody's business. I am a crow.
Can you hold a grudge, Fabian? I can too. Who am I kidding?
Are you kidding? I remember my very first grudge. I can remember it vividly. It was at my grandmother.
My first grudge.
Oh my God, I remember my attitude, my arms crossed.
Right now, you just crossed them.
Because I'm feeling it.
What can you share
and
what it was? What did she do to you?
I have no idea.
But you just remember.
I remember how I felt and the look of hatred. I was fire aiming at her.
Did she notice?
Oh, everybody noticed. They're like, look at that little idiot. What the fuck? They just ignored
me. She didn't care.
No.
Oh, my God. Did you get over it and you still loved her in the end?
I still remember.
Even at her funeral, you were like that fucking bitch.
I had a grudge with everybody. I still love everybody. But yeah, I held a grudge for a long time. I was really good at it. I'm a fucking crow.
Hey, look. There's a crow. Right outside the window, there's a crow on the bird bath.
Does this mean that my dream is coming true, that I'm going to be able to have a relationship
perhaps,
with them?
Perhaps it is.
Oh, my God. You know, oh,
there's
two
a
crows.
Second. There's a second crow, guys, everybody. It's live action
this
here.
Is amazing.
Oh,
oh, they know we're talking about them, they and they
do.
Love us for it.
Hi, crows.
Apparently, they're telepathic. Also,
yes.
Okay, continue.
All right.
Please.
Yes. Where the heck was I? Long-term memory. Yes. Okay. There are This is what I was talking about earlier. There are anecdotal reports of crows gathering around dead individuals of their own species. A behavior that has been interpreted as mourning or funeral behavior. While the exact reasons for this behavior are still debated, it suggests a level of emotional complexity in crows. Crows are adept at finding innovative solutions to challenges they encounter in their environment. For example, they have been observed dropping nuts onto roadways, and waiting for cars to crack them open. You know when you see a crow in the middle of the street?
Right.
Crows typically are monogamous and form long-term pair bonds with their mates. They often mate for life and engage in elaborate courtship displays during breeding season. Crows feature prominently in mythology, folklore, and literature around the world. They are often depicted as symbols of wisdom, trickery, or death, which is all counter. They're all, anyway.
You know, what's interesting is because they're black, of course, as a bird, you see them and they feel ominous and they feel, you know.
And
you
yet
think
I think they're magical. I see them as total.
Me too.
When Peter and I went to the Tower in London, it was a rainy day. It was one of my favorite days of my life. It was raining and chilly. Jen's happy, right? And the ravens that are there, are you familiar with the ravens?
No.
Oh, Fabe, like they're this big. They're, and they're sitting, like you're walking up the steps and they're just sitting right there, like formidable.
Wow.
And they don't, and then they have these big cages that they're kept in, like big, like the size of this area of the kitchen.
Why are they kept there?
At night.
What was the history for of them?
Oh, I wish I knew that.
That's interesting.
Can you look it up while
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But all I know is they are there, and it is fascinating.
Wow.
The ravens of the Tower in London.
Wow.
The Tower of London, I should say. All right, guys. In some cases, crows have formed social bonds with humans who regularly feed or interact with
them. That's who I want to be. I want to be one of those humans.
These interactions can lead to mutual trust and cooperation, with the crows demonstrating recognition of individual humans and potentially offering protection or assistance in return for food. And that's where I go to. Nothing has been proven, but there's many stories of crows actually somehow being helping, directly, not like, you know, ringing them up, hey, Jim, come get your kid. Crows are highly intelligent and capable of observational learning. They can learn from watching human behavior and may adjust their own actions accordingly. Two things, the birds, tippy-hedron, those weren't crows. Some were crows.
Yeah, I think there were. Did you know that in London, at the premiere, after the premiere of that film, Hitchcock had speakers put in all the trees outside the theater, so that when people were leaving, with screeching sounds of birds. Yes,
he was a bit of a...
He was a fucking genius.
Yeah.
That is a marketing genius.
Did you know that he sent Melanie Griffith a miniature coffin with Tippy, a Barbie doll of Tippy, inside the coffin as a birthday present
when she was a little girl?
Yeah, 13. That's kind of...
Yeah, but he's so macabre.
I guess.
I don't know. I'm not excusing it. I know that he had a thing with the blondes, and I saw that. I saw that whole thing.
But we don't need to demonize him, right?
But I think I think he really was a genius in making. He was an incredible. He had an amazing eye. I loved his films.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
No, I agree.
I thought he was great.
Now, there's a little bird having a bath in the bird bath. I wonder if.
The crow just ate it. Just decapitated it. No, just
crows.
Kidding.
Oh, one time Peter and I were watching this nature show at our house, and it was really murderous. So I was like, let's go outside and have a smoke. So we were sitting outside having a smoke, and there was like an oak tree in our backyard, and this red-tailed hawk just flew into the oak tree, grabbed
your cigarette,
screaming baby crow. And flew off, and then seconds later, its parents were flying out. And it all happened, like, right in front of us. Like, we just watched it fly away. And I turned to Peter, and I was
like, did they get it?
Do you think they're going to be able to catch the the walk, and he just was like, no, Jen, it's over.
Man.
But what, like, it was just like, there's, you know, there was one nature show I was watching once, and he was like, nature.
So wait, you're watching a nature show, and then it was too much, and you go outside because it was a little too much, and you go outside, and then you witness it in real life.
Let me show you what I really mean, nature. Nature's a feeling.
You have some sort of a magic thing, because you just made those crows appear while we're talking about them.
I don't know. And I did. There was one show that I was watching, and I took from it this amazing quote I will never forget. After a particularly brutal death of some animal, the narrator said, "Nature is neither cruel nor kind. It is simply indifferent."
Right.
And at least it gives me comfort in that, like, because it can be, you know, I feel sorry for the crows, but the crows are eating the songbirds' babies, right, and the blue jays' babies, and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Birds, man. Original birds. Dinosaurs. All right, so listen, movie time. I listed, just to keep in line, but we don't have to for very long, but we talked about the birds. There's also the movie The Crow.
You know what there is?
What?
We forgot. If we're going to talk about the birds, we have to talk about High Anxiety.
Okay.
And Madeline Kahn in the scene in the park. Her car, her clothes. Because High Anxiety was a takeoff on Hitchcock. All of his films rolled into one. And it was a little bit of a farce on them.
High Anxiety.
Oh, that was
it's
the best.
You who's to blame.
I love that.
Hey, anxiety.
The vertigo thing when he's at the Bonaventure Hotel that was filmed at the Bonaventure Hotel downtown Los Angeles. I know because...
No, it was in San Francisco, the hotel. I went in it.
That wasn't the Bonaventure Hotel?
Honey, I went into the hotel in San Francisco.
Wait, it wasn't the hotel... I don't know why I thought it was the Bonaventure Hotel.
I don't think it was, love. I think it was this one in San Fran. I walked into it and saw that it was exactly
where he.
With
yeah,
the
it
elevators.
Was. It was okay. Because he. It
yes,
was. That's
yes.
The elevator.
He had the fear of heights,
and he would walk all along the hallway.
Here's your paper. Here's your paper. And it was they recreated the Psycho scene. Yeah. Guys, watch
it was a great
High Anxiety.
Fucking movie.
Harvey Korman.
If you love film and you love Madeline Kahn was amazing.
Cloris Leachman.
She was amazing.
So guys, I just like made a point from my boobs and he knew that I was talking about Cloris Leachman.
Or she was giving me a high five. I couldn't tell. She was like,
pointing my index finger.
Little gun thing like, yeah, you got it. She's doing one of those double good.
God, though, seriously, remember the S&M theme with him, her, and Harvey Korman? And then when they're madly scheming, drinking the tea, slurping the tea on the glass table.
What a great movie.
Guys, it is a fantastic movie. But getting back to the scene in the park with Madeline Kahn,
I
don't remember it.
She gets out of the car. She's her Cadillac. She's got a Cadillac
Louis
Seville.
Vuitton. And
it's Louis Vuitton.
The seats, the car.
The car. The outside of the
it's
car.
All the
and her outfit, head to toe, is a pantsuit in Louis Vuitton. And
I
she
love
walks
that
out
woman.
Of it. It was the best. She was amazing. She was such a gift.
She was
we
a
were the
gift.
Luckiest people in the world to be around when she
agree.
Was around. She was
and
such a gift.
And thank God they saw her genius because she could sing.
She can do
like
anything.
A Broadway
star. Do you remember
star.
When she used to do her Marlena Dietrich imitations? I mean, she was just so good.
Do you remember History of the World where she's being carried by the Roman soldiers
I can't
and she's
remember now.
Chewing the gum? Hey, Bob! Hey, Bob! And then, no. Remember the eunuchs? She's choosing them. Guys, History of the World. I don't really recommend the series. It doesn't really measure up. It was a nice try. But the movie, Mel Brooks movies, go back to all of them. Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein. Yeah. You won't be sorry.
No,
come on.
Ever.
But yes, the Crow. Now, I think I confess to you, I don't think I ever saw it. Is that the one where Lee passed away?
Yeah, he passed away after it was filmed.
After it was done, so he was in the whole thing. I thought,
Yeah, and he was so beautiful.
He was
such a beautiful
man. He was,
It got really creepy. I remember that there was in the sequel, one of the sequels, Kirsten Dunst was in it, I believe. Wasn't she?
I like Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Dunst.
She
was good in Fargo, that season of
she
Fargo.
She was amazing
she
in
really
Fargo.
She really was. I've never seen
She's
the
so
secret
underrated.
In the...
She's so underrated.
She might be underrated,
awards.
But I think she's like a... No, Sam Rockwell is not underrated. But I think she's respected and...
She is.
And they
she's
know. Like, if
like
she's
a,
in it... Like when that episode of that season of Fargo came on, I was like, oh my God, it's got her. Because The Virgin Suicides was on.
Oh my God,
I know.
A movie. Yeah. Powerful. She's been in so many Melancholia.
She's good.
She's been in so many great movies.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette, what was that one?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was great. She's great.
I went to Versailles with Peter, and it's very gilded and fascinating, because when you walk through, like, you literally see, like, the actual rooms
of
these people.
Did you see the secret rooms, the little secret passages?
No.
Because, you know, I always think of, that makes me think of Dangerous Liaison and how they had those little doors so that they could all go from room to room.
Oh, I bet you they have to exist there. God. Dangerous Liaison.
What a fucking movie.
That movie. Oh, I should watch. I haven't seen it
since. We could do an entire hour on just that movie.
I have
on
to
Glenn
agree
Close.
With, alone. When Glenn she's Close, wiping that makeup off at the end.
Oh, my God. When she's at the theater and they're all hissing at her.
Yes.
When the truth comes out about her and they're hissing at her. The moment she stands up proud and trying not to crack, and she turns around. And she does a tiny little stumble.
Yes,
because
I remember.
Her knees can't hold her up.
Right.
It was just
John
gorgeous.
Malkovich at his best.
Oh, my God.
The music,
everyone,
the cinematography, the whole thing.
Was so good.
Love that
Michelle
movie.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Every
She's
single
amazing.
Person
She's
was
amazing,
amazing
in
that,
I know.
Movie. I need to see that again.
I do, too. Yeah. I need to explore that
what
again.
What was the remake? Not the remake. There was. It's almost simultaneous. This movie came out, and remember, it was Keanu Reeves. And Uma Thurman played the young ingenue. And for some reason, I cannot remember the rest of it.
What is that movie?
I don't know, but that was a great movie too, actually.
Let me just look it up really quick. Keanu.
Ooh, look at us. Dangerous
I know. You look it up. You look it up. I'm going to talk about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I didn't realize this, but apparently crows are featured as minor characters in that movie, particularly in the scenes involving the evil queen's transformation into a witch. Again, they're like left-handed people. It's like evil or, you know.
Sure, of course.
Oz the Great and Powerful. That's a 2013 movie. Crows appear in that fantasy adventure film as part of the Wicked Witch of the West's army. I want to see Wicked. I hear it's all about her perspective.
Right. Well, I mean, it's everybody that's seen it on Broadway, I think, loved it. It's supposed to be
Well,
really,
isn't
really
it going
great.
To be a movie?
Yeah, it is a movie. Yeah.
The Crow City of Angels. Let's see. Pan's Labyrinth, The Hobbit. In that fantasy film.
Wait, no, Tolkien. Uma Thurman and Keanu Reeves were in Dangerous Liaison.
That makes more sense.
There was another movie that was a takeoff. It was the same story, but with different people.
Forgot that Keanu. I remember Uma being in it, but I forgot that Keanu
was,
in it.
She was so gorgeous
in it.
Was she not stunning? She was so beautiful in that film.
Uma's exactly my age.
Really?
Okay, there's a movie with Uma Thurman and Natalie Portman and Timothy
with
Hutton.
All the girls in New Jersey,
It's upstate New York.
Oh, my God. And
Rappaport is in it.
Oh, my God. What a movie. I love that movie.
What
is Ethan Hawke in it?
Called?
Was Ethan Hawke in it?
No.
No, Timothy Hutton.
It's Timothy Hutton.
Yeah. They're interchangeable.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
We're just going to bore
you
guys while we look it up.
I'm not going to solve the Dangerous Liaison.
No, I know. And I can't find the movie, but Beautiful Girls, that's it.
Yeah.
Beautiful Girls. Guys, watch that if you
Natalie
have nostalgia
was so charming
for New
in
York
it.
And
right?
the 90s.
She was so charming.
She was charming in it. And it was innocent. It's nothing lascivious at all. Like, it was, she was a, just trust me, it's a great movie, great music. All right, I think that's it for the mushrooms. That was the mushrooms and the crow. Yeah, so basically, guys, The Wizard of Oz had mushrooms. The Hobbit had mushrooms. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is a film.
Well, Wicked also has crows,
right.
And the new one, which is going to be interesting. I think that makes sense for The Wicked Witch of the West. You know?
But I hear you. Like, my dream is to have, like, a pet crow and a pet raccoon if I could have a perfect world. Have you any of the Insta pet raccoons?
No.
They're delicious.
I don't know. I'd rather have a hedgehog.
A hedgehog?
A little pet hedgehog,
I love that.
I don't know. Raccoons, it's too much. No. I'll stick to my cat.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
Did you see Guardians of the Galaxy by any chance?
Of course I did.
The
third one?
I have to tell you, I cried so much. Did we already talk about this last week?
No.
Dude, I cried so much. I cried for hours, and my eyes were swollen.
His whole story was
amazing.
It was
inappropriate crying. Yeah. It was inappropriate.
Me too. I
was
at the theater. This is I saw it in the movies.
This is a fake creature, and I am crying as if...
It was so beautifully done. It was gorgeous.
It was stunning.
It was a great movie.
It was stunning.
Yeah. That's where Marvel really, really shines.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that they really nailed it with that one.
Yeah, it was great.
I think some of it's like not for me. So, you know, that all the action stuff doesn't always speak to me. But when they pull at the heartstrings, they really pull at it.
I think, but they've been really talented. I think they've been really creative in doing that.
The Hugh Jackman movies are good with that.
Almost every action movie with Marvel has found a way to really get to the emotional part. Like they work those things with each other in such a really great way.
I think you're right.
Did you see Black Widow? With Scarlett Johansson?
I'm not going to see any of that.
What?
Like, I don't like Marvel films. I feel like they hijacked Hollywood.
No, you got to see Black Widow. Black Widow was a fun movie about, you know, going back into your family and you know.
I love Scarlett Johansson.
She's amazing in this. And Florence Pugh steals it.
I love Florence.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, everything she is in,
Florence Pugh is fucking amazing. She's amazing. She's one of the best of the best.
No, it wasn't. I was watching, it must have been a trailer for something.
Come on, we talked about Midsommar.
Yes, you told me about Midsommar.
Did you not see it?
I need to watch it. Not yet, no, we talked about it.
Well, not if you don't want nightmares.
This is totally off topic, but I just watched Nope again. Did you ever watch Nope?
Yeah, why did I watch that? Hold on.
It's the ranchers in like south of us, and it's the cloud, and then all of a sudden the horses are screaming at night. And
no.
Nope.
I haven't seen that.
Nope. It's so good. Key and Peele.
Oh no, I have not seen this.
I cannot remember his first name. Chelsea Peretti's husband. He's that great director.
What? He's married to Chelsea Peretti?
Yeah, they have children together.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I love him.
Nope. If you have not seen it, I am begging you. It's not horror scary.
Okay.
It's thriller.
Okay.
And it is like...
All right, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it tonight.
It's so good. Watch it tonight. Yeah. All right, you won't be sorry. I like that every once in a while we give each other films that we watch that night.
Also, it was Quentin Tarantino's birthday yesterday. And I just
happy birthday, because he is amazing. I have to say,
he is my favorite. You know, he's my favorite. My very, very, very favorite.
Yeah.
So, yes.
No, I understand why, too.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. I love him. I love his work. Okay.
You sent me that fascinating thing about, you know, because I think about Once Upon a Time.
In Hollywood.
And you sent me that incredible video of Steve McQueen where he was approached by this hippie and the hippie wouldn't get out of his face.
Because he gave McQueen, him a screenplay.
And he wanted to know if he read it. And Steve McQueen just wanted this guy out of his face. So being Steve McQueen, he just punched him right in the face.
Okay, but wait a minute. You don't even know that I have thought about this after I sent it to you. I've been thinking about it for days.
It is fascinating.
But it is the origin story of every superhero in every Marvel comics, even DC comics. It's almost the origin story of Spider-Man. Because he could have prevented the death of Sharon Tate. He could have prevented
the death of all of them if he just talked to him.
This guy comes up to him and says, "Did you read my screenplay? I sent it to you." He becomes really, really physical and aggressive. And Steve McQueen just punches him in the nose and leaves. And the guy is pissed.
Enraged.
And then weeks later, he has this whole manifesto of who he's going to kill, which included Elizabeth Taylor, included a lot of people, and Steve McQueen. And he...
Frank Sinatra as
And Frank Sinatra. And he kills, you know, as we know, he killed Sharon Tate and all the people that were in the house.
Right.
After I read that, I kept thinking, this is almost the origin story for Spider-Man, who didn't stop the man that had just committed a crime. And he could have stopped him. He had the power.
I was a big Spider-Man comic reader, and I don't remember this.
He didn't stop him and ends up killing his uncle. Uncle Ben gets killed. I think it was Ben.
Because
he didn't stop him. And that guilt is what, with big, great responsibility, the whole deal, it causes him to become a superhero instead of using
Spider-Man's
his power.
My favorite.
But you see, that is... Steve McQueen could have been that superhero.
If he just listened.
But I think in an alternate universe, he is a superhero. He's still alive and he's a superhero. And hopefully somebody's going to come up with that idea right now because they just heard me say it.
Do you remember Bullet? And
I never saw it.
Oh, Bullet's good because...
I've not seen a lot of Steve McQueen films, I've got to tell you.
Who's the beauty that was in... God, what is her name?
Jacqueline Bisset.
Thank you.
I have no idea who you're talking about, but it's...
How did you know?
I don't know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, I have
she
no idea.
She was freaking in Bullet with him.
Oh, I don't know. I love
she
Jacqueline
Bisset.
She's
so beautiful. I love that. She was in Two for
gorgeous.
The Road with Audrey Hepburn.
The Deep? Was it The Deep? No, what was that? The one where she's... They're diving.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With Nick Nolte.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Deep, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just on last year.
That's
oh
weird.
My God.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but I know that
I
she was in it.
I cannot believe you guessed her. I think we need to get on a talk show or a game show where we can win some
absolutely.
Money with this
just
telepathic.
With the look.
Exactly.
The crows gave us
the
crows, telepathic
it was
power.
The...
They did.
You're
I'm
just going to wake up. Cacao,
I'm
cacao.
Imbued by
so
it.
I don't know if you guys watch Schitt's Creek, but Moira is an actress on that show, and she's doing a movie that is about crows.
Yeah.
And she at one point, guys, like it's just an hilarious.
Catherine O'Hara, no less.
Catherine O'Hara,
who is a
hilarious,
fucking
and it's
genius.
Cacao, cacao
yeah.
is her what
yeah.
she keeps saying over and over,
yeah.
and it's really good.
She's a comic genius.
And I have to be honest, it took me a bit to like Schitt's Creek.
Really?
I tried at least 5 times.
What?
I started it. I'm like, what is this stuff? And then 5th, 6th episode. I was like, oh my God.
Jesus,
yes.
I was so tired of crying at every other episode. It was so moving and emotional.
The Tina Turner song episode with the
please.
Acoustic
yeah,
version.
Beautiful.
Of, yeah, no, it's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's time for the advice segment.
All right.
This is the portion of the show where.
I want you to know, I have to tell you, today at work, 2 17-year-old twin girls come in. Their names are
Jen and Fabe.
No. They're Mia. When she's told me her name, I thought she
That's
said.
That's my niece, my great
I thought
niece.
She said, I thought she said Venus. And I'm like, Venus? She goes, no, where'd you get Venus? Mia and Allie. Twin
Aww.
Sisters, 17 years old. And out of the blue, I mean, she said, I love your look. I love your
Aww.
Outfit. Thank you. She said, I need advice. She said, I need advice.
Aww.
This was the advice. Listen to this. I'm so happy I don't have children, especially 17-year-old kids. They just turned 17
so complicated.
On January 12th because I ask their birthdays. I ask everyone I meet their birthdays.
Capricorns,
very ambitious, but these girls were not so ambitious, I think. And she tells me, I don't know what to do. This guy really wants to have sex with me, and I've not had sex yet. Well,
Aww.
I've given a blowjob. She said
Aww.
That. I've given a blowjob, and the guy was filming it. And I said,
oh,
what?
Oh, my God.
He said he had the flashlight on. He said, oh, it's just the flashlight so I can watch you. But he filmed it. And she said, now this other guy keeps texting me and saying, oh, I could really, we would have such a great time.
Oh, my God. This
and
is
I
horrifying.
And I don't want to do it. I know. And she said, I don't want to do it. And what do I do? And I'm afraid that I'm going to go back to school.
Oh, my God.
And it's going to be.
This is horrifying.
I know.
That could happen to someone.
I know. And I just looked at her and I go, don't fucking do it. You don't need to do it. Don't do it. Why would you do it? If you're worried about what he's going to tell people, who cares? He's going to tell people no matter what, something.
Good advice,
so don't
babe.
Don't worry
yeah.
about it. And I asked what his birthday was, and he's a Taurus. Absolutely don't do it. Do not do it. He's a Taurus. Do not do it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Why?
Tauruses are very secretive. Not all Tauruses, of course, but when you're 17, yeah.
Yeah.
They're secretive, and they're...
I can't believe that shit.
When she told me that,
videoed
but get
her.
This. She told me all this. She gave me a hug when she left, yelled from across the room and said, I love you, Fabian,
oh.
left, came back 2 hours later
oh my God,
and
Fabe.
Brought me a banana, a sequined banana, not sequined, a disco ball
yeah.
banana that she bought. She goes, I saw this and thought of you. She knows me. You know,
that's
I have disco balls
you guys
in
are
my
like
living
soulmates
room.
From another
it was
life.
The weirdest thing. It was so crazy,
but
and she brought
she
this to me.
She immediately sought advice from you, but
yeah.
I believe that if
it's
you do
crazy.
Go into the past lives thing, you knew each other in another life.
I don't
or
know.
Whatever
I don't know,
it
but
is,
it was
your
really
energies.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then luckily, I gave advice and said, "Do not do this. You don't need to do this. Just wait. You'll know when it's the time, and just
yeah.
wait for it. You know." And anyway. I'm so
Good
happy I don't
God.
Have children. Ugh.
How sad.
No.
How sad.
And that they filmed it.
But that asshole filmed it. Is See, this is where... So I'm so glad I grew up in the 70s and 80s.
Me too.
And my childhood was not filmed
no,
or videoed.
Me too.
And
too.
The awkward sexual exchanges, the very few that I had, loser, weren't freaking filmed.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so glad they weren't filmed. Oh my God. We do have film though. Once we got video cameras. Oh my God, I couldn't wait. I bought a video camera. I thought I was going to be like the most amazing filmmaker.
Yeah,
I bought
a
Sony video camera. Right. It was really expensive with those mini tapes.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm so happy I got that because I have footage of the first time that we did, maybe the third time that we did Ecstasy. And I had that camera on and it's me young and beautiful and dancing to music,
yes,
completely naked and dancing. And I look so amazing and I'm so glad that I have it.
Yes.
Because
no, truly,
proof that
truly.
I was,
yes.
It was
I
great.
Know there's proof.
It was great.
I hear you, dude. I see pictures that at the beach house that Peter took of me in compromising positions. And he said
boudoir.
I was in the boudoir and I would be like, "Honey, please don't." And he's like, "Honey, you're going to be so glad that
and
I took them."
Right.
And now that I'm overweight and middle-aged, or I'm well past middle-age, who am I kidding?
No, we're middle-aged.
If we live to 100.
Yeah, we will.
Well.
We're living in the future.
All right.
Or the world is going to end in a month. But
I have to say, my ass looked great and I looked great. And we didn't know
we
it then.
We took it for granted.
We didn't know
we
it then.
We so took it for granted.
But I was the filmmaker in my family. My dad also had the video camera and I got it all when he passed and I'm digitalizing it now. But I was the one that filmed. So my dad and me were the ones that filmed
everything.
Everyone
family,
growing up,
yeah,
my little sister.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it's really
great.
It's nice to have
that
it.
Is.
It is.
That is.
It really is. All right, listen. Here's our first letter. This is the portion, guys, as you know, that we kind of copy the British term for agony auntie and uncle, and we respond to anyone seeking advice, as I've mentioned many times. No one is writing in or calling in. I'm still working on getting us a phone line for you to call in. But please,
we're getting a
write
burner
in.
Phone.
I know. You don't have to say your name.
Well, you can use a burner phone. We'll never know who it was.
Exactly. But just write in. For now, what I did this time, so we're not breaking any laws.
We're not breaking
I basically
laws.
Took ideas and just, I don't know, should I say this to the audience?
Sure.
I used the chat,
ChatGPT.
Yeah. To kind of like, you know, judge the letter so we're not breaking any laws, but the topic and content
all
is
right.
The same that what I stole. Here we go. Dear Agony, Auntie, and Uncle, I am writing to seek advice regarding a challenging situation in my marriage that has left me feeling lost and unsure of how to proceed. Several months ago, my wife made the brave decision to stop drinking. Recognizing the negative impact alcohol was having on her life and our marriage, I wholeheartedly supported her in this choice and admired her for committing to sobriety. However, since she stopped drinking, our marriage has taken a troubling turn.
Da, da, da.
Instead of alcohol, my wife has turned to marijuana as a means of coping with stress and anxiety. At first, she needs to microdose mushrooms is what she needs.
Yeah.
At first, I thought this might be a healthier alternative, but it has become increasingly clear that her marijuana use is causing just as much harm, if not more, to our relationship. Since she has started smoking marijuana regularly, our communication has broken down and conflicts have escalated. She no longer wants to go out and be social with friends anymore. She has a lot of mood swings and erratic behavior has become more frequent, and it feels like we're living in a constant state of tension and uncertainty. I fear that if we do not address this soon, our marriage may not survive. How can I encourage her to recognize the impact of her marijuana use that it is having on our marriage without causing further strain on our relationship? Any guidance or insight you can offer would be greatly appreciated.
My very, very first instinct, it has nothing to do with either or. It's not the alcohol and it's not the marijuana. Because I think that there's something inherently broken in their relationship, and it has nothing to do with either one of those
things. You know,
things.
I think you're right, Fabian, because if you're solid, there's a lot of patience involved there. And also, you can, if you're solid, you can talk to them and say, look, you got to knock it off, you know?
But I just think that if she's thinking that whatever the problems were caused by alcohol and she stops the alcohol and then she's doing something else, that is very different because what pot does versus what alcohol is very different. I do think it's a little bit healthier.
I agree.
And there's still problems, then the problem has, it's, they need to get to the root of what those problems are. It has nothing to do with her marijuana use or her drinking. it's something deeper, it's something else between them. And I don't know.
It lies beneath. I think this is a good example of a couple that may need couples therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
It's helped a lot of couples. And yeah. I know people are sometimes...
I would, if they're going to keep doing, going from one drug to another, from alcohol to marijuana, I would suggest doing ecstasy
together and naked, sitting together on a Saturday
and sitting together and then it's talking fun. It out yeah. because they will talk it out.
They will. And they will. Also express deep that emotions that reside.
I don't recommend it, but I do say if that's, that is,
I recommend it.
I mean, it is the best couples therapy. It truly, thing that
well,
you
it
can
started
have.
Out as yeah, couples sure, therapy sure. that they would give to them. So,
you know, Cary Grant did it.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. So. Know who you're getting it from. That's very important. But I think, yeah, I feel like, you know, in a way I feel sorry for him. He certainly doesn't come off as arrogant or, he, you know, it seems that he does care about her. He is supportive of her. And in honesty, her mood, like, so maybe we need to get to the bottom of what's causing her mood swings or her erratic behavior. Because
what I'm going to say. I think she's bored with him. I think she's bored by him. I really do.
I'm a former pot smoker. I don't smoke anymore, but I didn't have erratic behavior or mood swings when I smoked.
No, so. I'm not a pot person really. So.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, couples therapy I think is the answer, and look at what's
yeah
beneath.
It has nothing to do, I think it's something deeper, it has something yeah. else to do, and
so
it,
you need to decide just, if it's yeah. worth saving. They need to have some long talks,
yeah,
you know, do some ecstasy together and see and, yeah, tell, or, and tell some truth
or a therapist for sure
or, they or, need, yeah, start with
they
therapy.
Need to be in a place where they can speak openly and
honestly with
and
one
honestly,
another
for real.
Did you ever see couples therapy on Showtime? It's fantastic.
I think I did.
I really like that yeah. woman
I
in
like
New York.
All of the shows that have to do with therapy. In
She's,
Session?
But
did
I
you
prefer
ever watch
the therapist.
That? In Session? Was that what it was called? In... It was a thing
in Session,
HBO.
Yeah. Gabriel Byrne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, I need to look that up.
A show. And then that last yeah. season, they had a new doctor. A woman doctor. Oh, it was so
I don't think
good.
I don't think I ever explored the show, but I knew of it.
I need to watch it
well, the
again.
Rea-
it was
but
so
the
good.
But the real one, couples therapy.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've seen that.
You should you have seen that.
No. Oh, it was like Taxicab Confessions is what it sounds like to me. That was a great show.
No,
did you ever watch that?
Yes, of course I did.
Of course you had to.
But no, this one
it was
is
obligatory.
Even, especially the first season. There is one guy
wow.
that you just want to slap upside the head. He is such an asshole.
Yeah.
Sorry for cursing. We try not to be explicit, but we are in this podcast. It's the therapist herself that fascinates me. She's in Manhattan. It's and then it's like the first season, and then the second season is during 2020.
Wow.
Then the third season. So it's on Showtime.
Oh, interesting.
It's really good. Couples therapy. Guys.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you know what? I actually gleaned good ideas and thoughts of how to have certain perceptions in my own relationship.
Right.
It was, you know
right.
we're
for
not
sure.
in trouble. There's no
for
issue.
Sure.
But you
yeah.
know, information's
yeah, of course.
Education's
of course.
Great.
Of course.
All right. You're up, sweets.
Dear Agony Auntie
and Uncle.
I'm writing to seek advice on a deeply troubling issue that has been causing significant strain in my relationship with my girlfriend. You have to imagine the different voice reading this. Okay. I am at a loss for what to do, unless I'm a lesbian. My girlfriend and I come from different religious backgrounds, which has always been a point of tension in our relationship. While I have always respected her faith and beliefs, I have come to realize that her devotion to her religion is causing serious problems in our relationship. Uh-oh. My girlfriend's religious beliefs are all-encompassing, and she views everything through the lens of her faith. She attends religious services regularly and prays multiple times a day. While I admire her dedication, I feel like her religion has taken precedence over our relationship and has become a source of conflicts and division between us. What?
Mm.
Recently, she made it clear to me that she sees her relationship with God as her top priority above all else. I can pretty much guess what this religion is. She has even expressed a desire for me to convert to her religion, which I am uncomfortable with. I feel like I'm being asked to choose between my own beliefs and values and our relationship, which is an impossible position to be in. I love her deeply, but I'm struggling to see a way forward in our relationship when her devotion to her religion is so all-consuming. Is it fair for me to ask my girlfriend to choose between me and her religion? How can I approach this conversation with her in a way that is respectful and understanding of her beliefs while also asserting my own needs and boundaries? I appreciate any advice or insights you can offer on how to deal with this challenging situation. Signed, Godloather. I have to say, the gin has definitely kicked in because I had an immediate response about this. No, you should not ask her. You should not ask her to make a choice.
You because should run is what you should
she's
do.
Making, run. She's asking you to make a choice.
Yeah.
If either of you have to make a choice in what you believe in and what your religious beliefs in or a relationship,
you're not on the same page.
Then it's doomed, no matter what.
Right.
If you can have a relationship with where you can believe what you want to believe and she can believe what she wants to believe and still be happy and loving to each other and respect each other's beliefs, then you're great. But the idea that you have to choose to believe everything that she believes in, that is absolutely insane.
And I know.
And it's not just religion, it's anything that you would have to make a choice like that in a relationship. Yeah. That is not a relationship.
No, I have to agree with you. Yeah. And neither of you belong with each other.
With each other if she respects what you believe in and you respect what she believes
but
in.
But she's not. Right.
Right. If she's like, making him make a choice.
Right.
He should not do the same thing and try to make her make a choice. That's passive aggressive. That's something I would have done.
Well, that's the thing is I think that both of them need different partners. And so I'm not going to rag on her. She's entitled to her beliefs and that's all fine. But for him, he has every right to feel like he doesn't belong there. And you know, especially, I don't know how long they've been dating, but, you know, there's that honeymoon time where it's like,
You're on your best behavior.
You're obsessed with each other. Yeah. Not even best behavior, but when nothing in the world matters but the other person.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've been really lucky that my relationship has always been very simpatico. We had different upbringings, but the ethics were the same, similar in thoughts and stuff like that. So we've never really struggled with that kind of situation. But I just feel like, I guess you're right. Like, she's not wrong at all for the, you know, and I know
believing
that,
whatever
and
she
I know
wants
that,
to believe.
I know that super faithful people, their righteousness is something that they feel brings them closer to God. And so her righteousness is only something that feeds her relationship with God. But I just think that maybe, Mr. Godloather, you should just sit down with her, have a long talk, see if there's any middle ground that you can reach. You know, express your needs to her and see if possibly she can meet you halfway. But I hate to say it, at the end of the day, I don't know if this is something to pursue.
Who wants to be in a relationship with someone who is going to be judging you
right
all the time?
Precisely.
That is not.
And come from that righteous.
That is not a.
Because I'm not a fan of the righteous. No, I'm really not.
I'm not either.
And so.
At all.
But I know that it's been explained to me that the righteous.
I got
to
tell you.
Oh, same.
Almost being
same, babe. I am
removed
too.
From the hospital a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because of this born again Christian woman who just was horrific and homophobic. And the nurse, the head nurse, it was horrible.
Oh,
so
my God.
I am
babe.
Completely triggered by this. There's no. If she can't respect him for what he believes
right.
in and vice versa, then the. Don't bother.
And I know that you love her deeply, but I have to say to you, I've seen it before. This is experience talking. I know that you feel like, you know, you love her, but I promise you that there's probably someone else out there for you.
Yeah.
And it might be a richer love, a more accepting love, and a love where the playground is more at level.
When
and
it's conditional, no matter whether it's religion or anything
that's it, Phoebe.
A conditional relationship
absolutely.
Is never a good thing.
You're
for,
not going to win.
You're going to,
yeah.
It's not even, you could last, you could make it last
but
forever.
But you're not going to be happy.
But you won't be happy.
No.
There will always be something
right.
missing. There will always be something that you're sacrificing
right.
of yourself to be in that relationship.
Right.
Conditional relationships, it's a tricky thing because they're in a relationship. There are things that you say, look, I don't condone this. I don't condone this. Don't do this to me. There can be rules, but when it has to be conditional and reciprocal in a
yeah.
Then you're
it's not going to work. It's doomed. That's
it's
what
not
I feel.
A
and
relationship.
Then don't
it's
waste
a,
time.
It's a transaction.
And maybe it's because I'm older. Don't waste your time.
For sure.
It goes so fast. It does. Just cut the cord, not with a butter knife, but with a freaking steak knife.
Yeah, for sure.
And just free yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe this is really bad advice. I don't know. But I just feel like she's, you know, I read people can only change 15% if they completely focus on that change.
Hmm.
So people don't really change. And if and you can't ask her to change her faith, that wouldn't be right. And she, by asking you to accept
hers, and her you don't level, believe in it, and you
it's
don't,
just to me, it's no. just not. It's doomed. You gotta really look at this. And
yeah, and what is the reward? You know,
right?
If you think that the reward is going to be, oh, I'm with somebody that I really love,
right?
But she doesn't really love you unless you believe what she believes or accept what she. Then how is that? How is that equal?
I agree, hon. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So listen, just move on, and we wish you the best. We really do. Just a reminder, guys, please follow us on Instagram at pockets_podcast. Please like our page so we can build our audience. Please rate and review the show. It really does matter very much to help build our audience so that maybe someday we can get sponsorship of some kind. Finally, if you...
I'm thinking Gray Whale Gin.
Gray Whale Hendrix. Finally, if you want to have Fabian and I give some advice on any subject, please email us at pocketspod@gmail.com. Come on, everybody. We know you want our pockets of wisdom. Anyway, always great to see you, my friend.
So good to see you, too. See you in a week.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. See you next week.